is brought to you by GloryGiftStore.com. At GloryGiftStore.com, we offer the very latest in quality Christian supplies, from DVDs and books to Bibles in every translation, communion, jewelry, T-shirts, clergy robes, and even homeschooling supplies are also available. GloryGiftStore.com, where you'll find everything to meet your Christian needs. So stop by GloryGiftStore.com today. That's GloryGiftStore.com.
Welcome, welcome. Another week. We're still on the air 3 weeks in. That's amazing. Actually, when you subscribe and pay for the time, you can do that. shout out to GloryGiftStore.com, to our sponsor. Also, remember, to the listeners of the show, if you go to GloryGiftStore.com, type in Choose to Joy in the promotion code, little space, all one word, Choose to Joy, you get 15% off of all products. Today we got a special day. We're going to have a special week. This is Living Single. Really, living single as a Christian, or our first guest this week is Marvin Wilcox, who is living single as a Christian in college. And let me pull Marvin right on. Hold on just a second. Marvin, are you there?
I am. What's up? What's up?
Man, praise the Lord. Man, I asked Marvin about a week ago, could he come on and do the show and talk about how he is living single as a Christian, living holy. And he said, man, he would love to. And let's just hop right on in. And Marvin, I was asking you earlier just about your upbringing. And you did grow up in a Christian home.
I did, man. My mom always had us in church. I'm the oldest of three, so we were in church every Sunday. And it was one of those things. If you didn't go to church on that Sunday, you wasn't doing nothing later in the week. So we wanted to make sure to be in church so we could, I mean, have fun throughout the week, maybe go out a little bit here and there. So, yeah, I grew up in the church all my life.
Man, my mom, she made us go to, she said if we didn't go to church on Sunday, then we couldn't do nothing the rest of the day. Your
Is
mom
that,
said
yeah,
y'all, couldn't do, y'all
man,
couldn't do nothing the rest of the week.
I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you, man. You wanted to be in church on Sunday.
And is there anything, man, growing up, going to church every Sunday, is there anything that really stuck to you or that you got out of church? Or was it just like a hop?
I mean, it was just something that we did, man. It kind of got to a point for me looking back on it where it was just tradition. We knew Sundays was dedicated to the Lord and we were going to church. So it really became just a routine of something that we did, but not really necessarily just getting much out of it. I knew there was a God. I knew Jesus came and died for my sins. But I would just go to church, you know. I really wasn't growing. And the pastor was preaching,
right,
but I initially just wasn't eating spiritual food, so.
Do you remember any time that you got any prayers answered specifically when you was growing up?
Oh, of course. I mean, just the transition in graduating high school and then coming to college, you know, I just asked the Lord just to lead me and give me direction. And these past 4 years of being in college, a great experience. You know, I definitely feel as if I made the right choice. The Lord has me here for a reason.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I mean, just other things throughout the week. I played football in high school, so as far as the Lord keeping me free and safe from injuries and whatnot. So, yeah, I experienced a little bit of that.
So looking back, would you have said that you was a Christian in high school or growing up, or did you just kind of, you was just a good person? You was wanting to know, I'm a good dude, but,
man,
really wasn't sanctified.
That's a great question, man. Yeah, and I really wasn't. So I wasn't set apart. I was a Christian, and I was in the world, but I was also of the world. I mean, I didn't look no different from anyone else. I just had a different talk. So I would always be wanting to say, you know what I mean, I'm blessed and I'm thankful for what the Lord did for me, but my actions and my words didn't line up. So it was one of those things where I was out there and I was in high school. And now one of the things that the Lord has just shown me, how your actions and your words should line up. So as far as your lifestyle being congruent, back in high school, my lifestyle wasn't congruent. I was quick to say something, but just live another type of way. But it's also due to the fact that, I mean, not to make any excuses, but I really didn't know how. I thought that's what a Christian was just simply professing to be a Christian, but not necessarily just, I mean, I know you had to do good things and live the right way, you know what I mean, and not do bad necessarily to anyone, but I didn't know how, what a Christian lifestyle consisted of. So.
Man, I know exactly what you're talking about. I kind of grew up the same way in high school. I didn't know how to do it. Didn't even know that anybody could until I met my pastor.
Right.
So growing up in high school, did you, not being sanctified or set apart, did you dabble in drugs or did you smoke a little weed or some blunts?
Man, thankfully, man, the Lord kept me through all of that. Although, I mean, I didn't know what he was doing. He kept me. I'm still a virgin today. So through high school, you know what I mean, I stayed pure in that area. But, no, didn't dabble in drugs, didn't dabble in alcohol or anything because I knew it would upset my parents. So it's one of those things. Yeah. I was growing up in a household where there were really high moral standards. You know what I mean? I knew it would upset my parents if I went out and just started living any type of way. So I just didn't want to fool around in it, man. I knew all it took was one chance. And I had friends, you know what I mean, that were doing all that stuff. And I just looked at their lifestyles and was like, man, I really don't want to be living like that. I don't want to go through what they're going through. So, like, what is this drug really doing for them? And I seen how possessed they were by that drug as far as just, I mean, smoking before you come to school, they need that to feel a certain type of way. And I didn't want to be so dependent on something like that to kind of fulfill me and put me in a certain mood.
That is very smart. Man, shout out to parents, man. Parents don't really know how to teach you how to be, a Christian or don't necessarily know how to teach you how to really live and serve the Lord. Just having two parents that are there for you and teach you practical things, moral things, it just makes you a different person, man. Just talking to you, I know that you're different than people I talk to that had an absent father or absent mother in their growing up.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Shout out to parents. But did you have any friends in high school who didn't have a father in the home or a mother in the home?
Oh, of course. I mean, a lot of my friends didn't. But it's one of those things, especially just moving forward in these times. It seems normal now. You know, to some of the people I talk to now, it's like, are your parents still together? And it's like, no, you know, my parents split. Maybe when I first came to college, or my parents split when I was younger. So it just seems normal. So I'm just thankful, you know what I mean, that the Lord has kept my household and my parents together through the thick and the thin. I'm thankful for how they raised me. But, I mean, just moving forward in these times, man, it's just seeming like divorce rates are higher. Parents are just split up. You know what I mean? The two are not becoming one, like Jesus said. And it's simply because I guess they're just founded on wrong principles.
That's exactly right. So you come to college, and it's when you came to school, or you left home to go to college. This is where you actually made a commitment to the Lord. Tell me about when you actually decided to serve the Lord with your whole heart.
Yeah, okay. So I come to college with the mindset of I'm going to try everything for the first time. I'm like, I'm getting away from home. I'm only about an hour and 15 minutes away from home. I'm from Clarksville, Tennessee. I go to school in Lebanon, Tennessee. So I'm like, okay, I'm far enough where I could try something, and my parents really wouldn't know. Then I'm just going to necessarily just drive out here one day and just see me. So I'm like, I'm trying everything. I'm going to smoke for the first time. I'll get drunk.
You decided you was going to get high for the first time, sex.
I mean, yeah, I made
drugs.
Up my mind. Yeah. I mean, I'm in college now. I have some freedom now. So I'm getting ready to, you know what I mean, just necessarily indulge in it and just wild out and just see what this lifestyle is about. Because I've been hearing about it for so long. And I'm like, yo, it's finally just a chance to try it. I'm out on my own. I really don't have no one to be accountable to like that. Because, I mean, my parents aren't watching what I do each and every day in college. I mean, why not try it? So that's why when the Lord says it's by grace that we're saved, man, he swept me off of my feet. I came in, I reported 2 weeks earlier my freshman year before school to report to football camp. So I come to football camp, and I'm playing running back. I got scouted as a DB, recruited as a DB, but they switched me to running back. And then lo and behold, I meet this guy named Robert Scales. I remember the first Sunday of football camp, I had missed church. And I'm on the phone with my mom, you know what I mean, growing up in that household where you're at church every Sunday. I'm like, yeah, Mom, I just haven't found a church around here yet. Just making excuses. And my mom, you know what I mean, just let me have it. And once your mom lets you have it, you know what I mean, that's definitely, it's nothing like, your mom, you know what I mean, just letting loose and just letting you. So, I mean, that's
so you miss one
me
service,
like,
you miss exactly. One Sunday of church, and
One Sunday, exactly. So I definitely didn't want to miss the next Sunday because I knew she was going to ask again. So I come to practice that next week, and I'm asking, you know what I mean, the fellow running backs in my group, you know, I need a church to go to on Sunday, anybody. And Rob Scales was the first one to speak up, and he's like, yo, you come to church with me. So I'm like, great, man, I'm going to this church. And I really didn't know what to expect, man. So I messaged him on Facebook. I'm like, yo, here's my number. Make sure you call me because I can't miss church. I'm thinking in the back of my mind, my mom is going to let me. I mean, no telling what she's going to do if I miss church again. So I want to make sure this guy is taking me to church on Sunday. So he takes me to church on Sunday, and I just get swept off my feet. And I experienced something that I've never experienced before. I didn't know church could be held in a setting like this, in an atmosphere like that, where people just have a true and genuine love just for Jesus Christ, and people are crazy. I remember going to that church and just leaving the service like, man, I don't even know if I want to come back here. Like, this is a little bit too radical. It's a little bit too extreme from anything that I experienced. You know, I kind of grew up in, and not necessarily, I mean, just kind of like a dead church, you know what I mean, where people just wasn't necessarily just hooping and hollering and just on fire. So, I mean, just experiencing that, man, it really put me in a stage of my life where I was extremely uncomfortable, man. So I'm like, wow. But I know just being uncomfortable, that's when you grow. One of the there's a guy that says you have to embrace being you have to be comfortable being uncomfortable. So that's one of the things. That's kind of like the setting of my freshman year. It was so uncomfortable for me. I continued to go to church with this guy where the pastor was just proclaiming just truth and just Jesus' words in the raw form. And I just fell in love with it, man. I mean, it just challenged me so much. I was uncomfortable, and so much growth came out of my freshman year. So where the Lord just swept me off of my feet, man, and just took me out of here on this journey. It's like, yo, I've called you. So I didn't want to waste any time. So September 2011 is when I got saved, and just been all in ever since.
Wow. So what made you feel uncomfortable? Did you feel like you had to make a decision on how you was going to live? Like it was like a fork in the road for you?
Exactly. I did, man. So my whole life, I look back, and it's like I was lukewarm. You know, I was just in the middle. I had a talk, but like I talked about earlier, my actions didn't line up. So what Jesus says in Matthew 6:24, you cannot serve two masters. At this point in my life, my freshman year, I'm having to choose. Okay, Jesus, I see what you mean when you can't serve two masters. Either you'll hate the one, you'll love the other, you'll despise one, or you'll be devoted to the other. So I actually had to choose to live for Jesus. But it was just so different for me, man, because everything around me that first year in college was just like, wow, wild out. You know what I mean? I had people, just friends, standing in the dorms with you. You know what I mean? I just live in any type of way. And I would just had different upbringing. So what my mom was saying, you're in church every Sunday. These people, you know what I mean, they didn't necessarily just believe in God, or their parents weren't saying that same thing. So it was just different. It was just an eye-opening experience, man, as far as my horizon being broadened. So I'm thankful. I'm so thankful for it, looking at it. Because, I mean, I was challenged, man, and I grew from it.
Tell me, you got saved and went all in 2011. Since then, tell me, what's been the biggest temptation you've had to meet as far as living sanctified and living holy? I know
definitely,
you like them big girls, so I don't know if a big girl came.
Man, here you go, man. I don't know where you heard that from, man, but it's not true. so, yeah, I mean, it'll definitely
tell me your biggest temptation,
though,
since you.
It'll definitely be women. Where Jesus says the eye is the lamp of your body. So as far as watching my eyes, and then my mind, what am I feeding my mind on? So as far as my eyes, your eyes being so powerful, what you're looking at, and then your mind, what are you pondering on? What thoughts are you having? So as far as casting down those thoughts, that I'm just waiting on the Lord to send me my wife. You know what I mean? I'm not in a rush. And then it really made me check as far as what do I want to get married for? And just in reevaluating my walk these past few months, I was thinking, it's like, why do I really want to get married right now? And the only thing that I could really come up with was just to have sex. So, I mean,
dude,
the Lord has renewed my mind in that area as far as just being patient.
Don't get
man.
Married just for sex, bro.
Right, yeah.
I mean,
so,
sex is, God made sex good. You know, he knew what he was doing.
Right.
But, man, there's so much more to marriage than just that.
Exactly.
Talk to Trey if you get a chance. Trey Guffey, that's my brother. He loves, his anointing is loving to talk people out of getting married. But you said women or the girls, that's been the biggest temptation for you, especially them big girls.
Oh my goodness, yeah, man, of course.
So what about drugs
yeah.
and alcohol? Like, I know like people on the football team that, like, come on, man, let's go get high, let's go to the club and get drunk tonight or something. You've been able to just say no to that?
Yeah, man, that's been so easy, just realizing what that stuff does to your life. How Jesus says in John 10:10, the enemy comes to do nothing but steal, kill, and destroy. So just realizing what those drugs and alcohol, what the purpose of it is. I mean, in the moment, it might be fun, and they might be having a time of their life. But as far as just you're wasting your life away with that stuff, man. And I never wanted, like I said in high school, I never wanted to be bound by anything of this world where it would determine my mood, it would determine my attitude and my mindset. So I have this vision of where the Lord has taken me and where I need to be. And alcohol and drugs really have no part in that. So why waste time in dabbling in it? Because if you play with fire, you will get burnt. So I mean, it's never really been a temptation because it's not a part of my plan or where I'm going.
I totally agree, man. To me, it just seems like a big waste of time, big waste of potential. And,
right.
I did, when I was growing up in high school, I was one of the people that would always say no. As a matter of fact, my stepbrother, he called me the right thing to do kid. But even with that, hanging around the wrong people, one day, I don't know if I broke up with somebody, I don't know, it was, you know, they said, man, you want to get high today? And I said, yeah. And so... it's something I should have never, ever done any drugs or never drunk anything, but just being around the wrong
right.
people pulled me in. How have you been able to stay, or have you been able to stay away from the wrong crowd since you've been in college?
Yes, man, I have. Early on, I mean, just thank the Lord for keeping me. Early on, it was difficult because I really didn't realize how much your company affects you as far as everyone having influence. So in the Word, how it talks about bad company corrupts good morals. And that's the thing that's become more real to me over this college experience is who you're surrounding yourself with. And then just the saying of as far as being the thermostat versus the thermometer. So a thermometer, you can put a thermometer in a room and it's going to change, you know what I mean, to any temperature in that room. So as far as you going into the atmosphere and you'll change. You're around this crowd, you change. You're around that crowd, you change. Whether you go into church, you put on, you profess to be a Christian, but I mean, you go out in the world and you live just like them. But as far as the thermostat going in and setting that temperature, a guy named E.T. the Hip Hop Preacher uses this this metaphor. So as far as you being a thermostat going in and setting the temperature, going in and setting the tone. So as far as me having my mind made up that I'm serving Jesus, I'm living for Jesus, no matter what nobody else says or thinks, and just being that thermostat, man. But of course, I mean, I've prayed, and my pastor shared with me. When I was kind of in this trial and tribulation of where I really just wasn't feeling like I was having enough fun, I was feeling like I was missing out on stuff. And he said, you have to surround yourself with people who don't enjoy sinning against God. So that's what that was one of my prayers in college. Lord, just send people my way, put people in my circle who don't enjoy sinning against you. And at the root of it all, people who fear you. I mean, because when you fear someone, you don't just want to go out and just blatantly just disrespect them and, I mean, just not care. So, I mean, the Lord has definitely answered that as far as just putting people in my circle, man, who don't enjoy, who just have a genuinely love for the Lord and don't just want to go out and just sin and just turn their back on the Lord. So who you surround yourself with is huge because you are who you surround yourself with. I look at my friends now and it's like, okay, I can see myself in each and every one of my friends. Just a little, whether it's just personality traits, character traits, who you surround yourself with is vital, man.
You guys, y'all have a good time, man. Are you really happy, and do you really have fun when you hang out with your buddies?
Oh, my goodness, yeah. We actually had a Super Bowl party last night, man. We had a blast, man. It's a blessing, man, being around like-minded people, people that have the same vision and the same goals as you. So, yeah.
So what do you
say
to people who – what do you say to people who feel like, okay, if I become a Christian, like, especially when they're out there, I mean, they're having sex – all the time, they're doing drugs, they're just living this life of a fast pace, and they probably
right.
want something different, but feel like if they become a Christian at a young age, they're going to be losing something. What do you say?
Yeah. Wow, man. It's just one of those things where the reward is greater than the risk, man. The life that Jesus promises, as far as just the peace and the joy that you'll have day in and day out is much greater than just living for a moment or going to a club and being high or being drunk or just living for that 2 to 5 seconds when you kind of get off when you're having sex. And then it's like, boom, well, what's next after that? Jesus says in John 6:63, the flesh profits nothing, but the words that he spoke to us are spirit and their life. So it's huge as far as making a choice, man, just to go all in. But, yeah, I mean, Jesus came so we wouldn't walk in darkness. That's just a theme for me over my college life as far as that's really some truth right there that set me free. As far as, okay, Jesus, you say in John 8:12 and John 12:46, you're the light of this world. So if I look to you, whoever follows him will never walk in darkness. And, I mean, as far as it's the difference between stepping in the darkness, you know what I mean, messing up, repenting, asking forgiveness, versus blatantly just walking in it like a, I mean, just sinners do. You know what I mean? Have no repentance, have no contrite heart to turn, but just, I mean, just really don't care.
So say if somebody is going to college maybe a year or so, and they may have grew up in a Christian home, or, you know, just, you know, they're about to go to college, and what advice could you give them to maybe keep themselves from falling into the temptations that college brings?
Well, first would be pray for like-minded believers. I mean, I just ask the Lord to surround you with people who are going to take you up, just right, mentally in your walk. Pray with people who are going to challenge you, people you can be accountable with. I mean, mainly just the biggest profit to me has just been running to Jesus' red words. That's, I mean, it's what Jesus says in John 17:15, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one, and then keeping them by the truth. He says, your word is true. So as far as me being kept by Jesus' words, so now I'm on a level, I'm just out here lost with Jesus' word. I mean, just been given a grace where his words are, I hear just his words more than anything I hear over the course of a day. So whether I'm just watching a TV show or listening to someone else, I always keep this book on me, man, where it's like, boom, I can go and hear his words, because that's the only thing that's going to keep me, man. Just imagine you leaving, I know you have a daughter, so imagine you leaving your daughter with someone, a babysitter, right? And your daughter, you know what I mean, always talking, running around, you know what I mean, just lively, full of joy. But the babysitter never telling her anything. The babysitter never commanding her to do anything, whether it's, okay, sit down, we're going to eat. You know what I mean? The babysitter just not seeing nothing. So that's how I look at it. And I know this is a crazy metaphor, but as far as just Jesus just babysitting me, Jesus keeping me. So as far as me living and abiding by what he commands, he says in John 14:15, if you love me, you'll obey what I command. Just listen to his words.
Wow.
That's just the greatest, that's the greatest success I've had thus far.
Man, that's well said, well said. So let me ask you this, because I don't think we talked about this at all yet, but how old are you?
I'm 21 years old.
You're 21 so, years old. And living for Jesus. And are you still in college?
I'm still in college. I graduated in May. So I'm almost done on the home stretch. Thank the Lord. It's been a journey.
What are you getting a degree in?
I'm studying business marketing, so that's what my degree be in.
And what's the future hold for you, man? What you got planned?
Ah, man, I'm not sure. Yeah, I kind of feel like I'm just out here in the middle of this ocean, man. But the Lord is just giving me peace, man. I'm pursuing a few different graduate programs. But I mean, we'll see what the Lord has planned, man. I mean, coming into college, I wanted to work with a Fortune 500 company and deal with public relations, communications, and marketing. But I really don't feel like that's my call anymore. That's what really what I want to do. So I'm looking at we'll see.
Just waiting on the Lord to show you what to do.
Exactly.
What about your family back home? And have they seen a difference in you? Do they know that you've been different since 2011?
Oh, of course, man. And that's thankful. My dad, my dad has been such a blessing to me. He's one of those people where I kind of just compare him to like an egg, how an egg is hard on the outside but just so soft on the inside. My dad is, it's really been a blessing to me. He's not saved at the moment, but I'm just believing the Lord, you know what I mean, just continue to soften his heart and just turn him around. So that's been one of the biggest testaments to me thus far. But, yeah, my family, all it takes is one. Me realizing that all it takes is one in a household, how you see in Acts,
right.
or Jesus doing a miracle. All it takes is one, and then the whole household believes. So no matter what my family thinks, no matter what anyone thinks, I mean, I'm just going all the way in with Jesus. And, just praying my family will follow me as well, and they will.
Marvin Wilcox Jr., the man with many metaphors. He said, oh, my father's like an egg, man. I ain't never heard nobody say that.
All right,
man, well, let's see. We've got about 5 minutes, man, and I really appreciate you coming on. Why don't you end this in a prayer, and why don't you just pray for young people, man? You're 21 years old. Pray for young people who might need to make that decision to give their life to the Lord, and we'll end the show.
Definitely. Cool. Please bow your heads. Lord, Father God, we thank you for this wonderful day, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity just to live and just to breathe this air, Lord. First of all, we thank you for just your son, Jesus Christ, for sending him to die on the cross for all of our sins, Lord, so we'll be saved from darkness. moving forward, Lord, I just pray over all the lives of young people, Lord, that you just begin to start slowly waking people up, Lord, to just the truth of Jesus Christ. And I just pray that you give people a grace just to come to you, Lord, and know you for who you really are. You say in John 17:3, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I pray that you give people grace just to really know you. And I pray that you just put a desire and a hunger and a thirst inside of us, just to grow and just to know you, like I said, for who you really are, Lord. Because that's the only thing that's going to transform my mind is your word. So I pray all these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. And I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Awesome, man. Once again, Marv, man, I thank you for coming on, man. And what do you think about that game yesterday, man?
Oh, my goodness, man. I don't even want to talk about
it. What kind of call was that at the end, man?
Yeah, it was unfortunate, man. I definitely wanted to see Russ Wilson pull out one. But the corner just made a great play on the ball, man, and it happens. So hopefully, I mean, the Seahawks rebound. Hopefully, they'll be back again next year.
Any more
it was crazy.
In
man.
Your future?
I'm actually done, man. I'm hanging up the cleats. I have another year eligibility, but I think it's just time to move on, man. I've enjoyed it while I played. It's taught me a lot, self-discipline and whatnot. Yeah. But, yeah, it's time to move on, man.
Time to call
hang it up.
Today,
I'm tired.
Hang it up. And so you have another year eligible to play.
Right.
But you're graduating, man.
I might get 30 years old. You know what I mean? So I still got it, man. So I might just come back to college and just play for a little bit, man. You know what I'm saying? Nah, I'm just playing.
Well, man, I appreciate you coming on, man. Keep yourself holy, man, and
man,
that's great, man. You just don't see too many young people these days, 21 years old, and they're not out there. Especially not having sex, because at a young age, man, that's the one thing that's on a lot of kids' minds, especially males.
Right.
Is women, you know. So keep yourself in the Lord, man. And man, thanks for coming on and sharing, man. I appreciate it.
Definitely, man. Thanks for having me. God bless all the listeners, man. Y'all stay up. Reach out to me. I'm on Twitter.
Go ahead and give your handle.
At Marvin's_room101. So just get at me, man. Reach out to me.
Are you on Facebook, too?
I am on Facebook. Just type in Marvin Wilcox, and I should come up.
Marvin Wilcox, man. Thanks again for coming on, man. Tomorrow, I'm going to try to have your buddy on, man, your ace.
God,
on the scales,
my dude, right
would it be
hand,
the third or the fourth?
He's the fourth, man.
Yeah. He's the fourth, man. I know he's been a blessing in your life, too.
Oh, my goodness, yes, man. So y'all enjoy him.
All right. Man, thanks. That's Marvin Wilcox Jr., man, thanks again for coming on. This is Living Single Week. We are living single. I'm going to try to have all singles on this week. I might have a married person or two who lived a great single life as a Christian on, but we'll just do whatever, wherever the Lord leads. But you can do it. You can live single without drugs, without alcohol, without sex, without fornicating. I didn't know you could until I met Robert Scales Jr. So, I mean, Robert Scales the fourth or the fifth, whatever he is. We'll talk about that tomorrow. But thanks for tuning in. This is the Choose to Joy broadcast, Living Single Number One, brought to you by GloryGiftStore.com. That's GloryGiftStore.com. Make sure you stop by there today. And we'll see you tomorrow. And have a blessed day.